human feelings like we all feel. And then his friends were there, and then they started, Eliphaz and Bildad, and they started really laying into him. And it was this back and forth conversation where Job was like, wait a minute, I haven't done anything wrong. And they're like, oh yeah, you did something wrong. You must have some secret sin. And this went on and on and on. And so we did a summary, which brings us to chapter 38, excuse me, where Job, God now is going to require Job to sit back and listen. And we started getting into this. stayed up pretty late. I realized that there's so much involved with this, just the scientific aspects of it alone. Goodness gracious, we'll be here another 2 years just looking at the earth and how it was produced and going into the technical debates about what certain people believe about it. I mean, but goodness, we have evolution. We have so many other theories as far as how things work, and nobody's even sure today. I mean, simple things like rain, you know. Well, we know we have water in the air, right? In the clouds, there's water above the firmaments, right? Below the firmaments, God created that way in the beginning. But what happens to where rain decides to come down? You know, in what area, what things happen together? We know sometimes we have thunder, we have lightning, and lightning creates electricity and all these things. So it's technical aspects of how it happens. What about ice when it hails? What happens? What turns that vapor into hail drops? What creates the size and the dimension of those that hail? You know, all these factors have to be, and then snowflakes. Snowflakes are very complicated in their shapes and design when they're looked at under a microscope. What creates that beautiful pattern, that beautiful design? You know, there's so many questions we have. And what it all boils down to is, if you've studied, how many people have studied biology in here? Okay. Microbiology. Okay. Anatomy and physiology. Botany. Okay, so we understand exactly how complicated living organisms are. I mean, even the amoeba, right, is one cell amoeba, is a complicated thing, right? And then viruses, bacteria, fungi, you know, all those things, when we look at them under the microscope, it's a whole world that opens up, you know, a microscopic world that exists that we don't even know about. Millions of microscopic organisms on our body, right on our skin, that help us. We probably wouldn't want to do that. I know I wouldn't want to do that. You got to. You'd have to have a sense of humor to walk around with a microscope. Because let me tell you, you don't want to know what's living on you, okay? Or inside of you. Because we have good bacteria that live inside of our gut, right, inside of our mouth, on our skin, everywhere. And so God has created all of this, this magnificent world that we live in. And there's a lot of things that we don't understand, even with the scientific advancements that we have today. Scientists don't understand it all. They're still trying to understand it. Now then, we have the gall, the audacity, then, and look up and go, God, why? Why are you doing this to me? Why? That's the problem. That was Job's problem. Okay? Yes, he was upright. Yes, he followed God's commands. But he did question God. And that's where God had to straighten him out. So let's go ahead and go to Job chapter 38. And I think in our breakdown here, let me see. Have two sources here, I think 1 through 7. All right, let me get a reader up here to read in Job 38, verses 1 through 7. There's that microphone right there. Okay, come on up. Uh-oh, come on All right, Shorty, don't
I
don't want no falling going on.
Job 38?
Yeah, chapter 38, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 7.
Okay. Job 38, verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy."
Okay, go ahead and continue to read 8 through 11 also.
Okay. "Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no further hew'" — let me read that over again. When I said this far you may come and no further here is where your proud waves halt.
Okay, America's standard. Okay. I'm sitting there trying to follow in the King James. I'm getting lost, but that's okay.
All right.
At least we know we got a American standard. Okay, let's go ahead and break it down. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. That was 11. Okay, so we just read verses 1 through 11. Let's break it down. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he's going to get ready to speak. And then in American translation, it said the storm, right? The turbulent tempest, the storm, you know. And that, does that storm sound familiar in the story of Job? Did we see that in the beginning, in the first couple of chapters? What happened in that tempest? You got to believe it. You better believe it. That's when the bad stuff started happening. And we'll look at this as the opposite. This tempest is when good things are going to start happening to Job. Okay? Then there is a discrepancy in verse 2, and I'm glad that I did some more study because I was confused in this as well. Prior to this, we have a young, Elihu is the youngest of the friends that were there with Bildad and Josaphat and Eliphaz. Elihu was the youngest. And so with Bildad and Eliphaz, I think it was Jophaz who was the other one, the three, Eliphaz, being the oldest one. And then they were able to talk most of the time. And then this Elihu kid was the youngest, and he was silent. And then when Job basically put some stuff in front of them that they couldn't answer, he got upset. And then he started talking. He's like, "Okay, I've sitting and I listened to all you old guys talk. Now I'm going to say some stuff, right?" So he started talking. But it was the same thing. He was basically repeating a lot of the philosophies that they had. You know, he misunderstood what God was doing, and he actually misspoke for God. So in chapter 2, when it says, "Who is this that darkeneth, who darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" All right, so we break it down. Who is this that darkeneth counsel? Who are the ones that are counseling? Who are there acting as counselors? His friends, right? So it's not Job. So verse 2 is not talking about Job. God is not condemning Job here. He's condemning Elihu, the young kid that thinks that he's speaking for God. But he's actually still speaking the philosophy of the world, just like Eliphaz, just like Bildad, just like Joseph. Okay, all four of them had it wrong. Job kept defending himself. He had it right. But again, we'll find that Job's mistake was he questioned God. So that's what verse 2 is. Who is that darkened counsel by words without knowledge? You don't have the knowledge. Job had the knowledge of God. He had the Spirit of God. He had the knowledge of God. But these guys, his friends, did not. Then when he says, gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Okay? So Job has been, what has he been doing? Now this is, verse 3 is dedicated to Job, okay? It's directed, I should say, to Job. What has Job been doing? I don't understand. Why? Why was the day not eradicated that I was ever born? Why did the, you know, my mother's womb, why did her breast have to give suck? All this why? And then, and in a sense, isn't he asking God? Okay, so let's think about it in our own lives. How many of us are going through some horrible things, a lot of bad things, okay? Oh, yeah, all of us. How many of us sometimes, be honest, question God, why? Okay? Guilty as child, exactly. A little hand. Larry's got the little hand. But I put it way up there. Because as much as I study this and I understand that I have no right to question, I am part spirit and part what? Flesh. Okay? So the fleshly part of me is always going to act up. Okay? It's always going to act up. It ain't going to do right because it's flesh. And those two, the Bible says the spirit, the one that wants to follow God's commands, the flesh that wants to follow its own desires, they're in opposition to one another. So guess what? They're always butting heads. They're always fighting. And that's why God gave us the ability through his son to be able to ask for forgiveness, to repent. Okay, no problem. Go ahead, my sister. Okay, so in 3, when he says, gird up your loins, act like a man is what he's saying, okay? Be like a hero. Stand up. Vindicate yourself. Because I'm about to ask you some questions. You've been asking a whole lot of questions here, Job. Now let me ask you some questions. And then in verse 4, he says, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth, declared it, if thou understandest it? Okay? A sacred number, and I won't get into all of this unless we go into Revelation again. But there are numbers that are considered sacred. Like if I were to ask you the number 3, why do you think the number 3 would be sacred? Okay. The Bible calls it the Godhead. So what is we're talking about? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 3. Okay, man on the earth, this earth that God laid down for us, that designed for us, we're bound by north, south, east, west. What number is that? That's number 4. 4 is considered the number of man. Now, guess what? When man and God join together, guess what sacred number that is? 7. That's where we get the 7 from. You see what I mean? And so then you have the 12 tribes of Israel, right? You got the 12 disciples, right? And so you see that number in the 12 coming up. And so that being a sacred number, divide that, that's 24. And so you'll see those different numbers. Now, the earth and everything on it, there are sacred numbers that are found. Scientists have found very sacred numbers in the designs. And you see these beautiful designs, especially in India and the Indian temples and things of that nature. They understand that everything works by mathematical formulas. God has created things by these sacred, they call it sacred geometry. And so a lot of the elites study this stuff, and all of a sudden you have, what you see is everything is precise. This earth, how is it holding itself up in orbit with all these other planets? Well, if you got it, you better believe it. And then, but let's explain, I want you to stand up and explain how the earth stands where it is, rotating, with all these asteroids going, hitting, and how do we stay a certain distance away from the other planets? Can anybody stand up and tell us that? Okay, well, can anybody tell us how this Earth was created? Huh? Well, I mean, yeah, but explain how he did it. Well, yeah, he spoke it, but then what happened? What were the, tell me about it scientifically, Philip. What happened? Well, we know it wasn't a big bang, right? Think about the earth being, some people say it's a flat earth, okay, shaped like a pear. I'm not going to dismiss that. Some people say it's round, okay? But what you find out is the pictures that NASA puts out are artistic renditions. They're not the actual picture. You're not seeing an actual picture of Earth, so we don't know what it looks like, okay? But there are people that show what it looks like, and it looks like some weird orb, you know, and all these planets and Jupiter, how beautiful they are. They're artistic renditions, and if you look at the fine print, they'll tell you that. NASA doesn't show actual pictures. They show paintings of the planets, and that's what we're taught. So what it looks like, how do we know? But then the distance between all these planets, the fact that how do they hold together? How does the moon rotate? How does the sun rotate? How do we have all of our seasons? You know, in January, February, March, and all these things, it seems to follow some command. How does that happen? So how do we sit there and scientifically say, mathematically, a formula, this is how it happened? Okay? And the earth, we got rocks, we got stones, we got mud, we got dirt, we've got oceans, we've got seas, but yet they have boundaries, right? They don't go too far. You have rivers, you have lakes, you have enough moisture to feed insects, you have microscopic organisms, okay, which are necessary for the biosystem. You have insects. Without the insects, you wouldn't have the reptiles. Without the reptiles, you won't have the mammals. Without the mammals, no mankind. You see what I'm saying? No man. And so all these things had to, so the Big Bang doesn't explain anything, okay? All of a sudden there was, they had molecules, you know, and matter is what they say. Matter was condensed. I mean, all the matter in the world was condensed to the size of a pin, like a pin, a needle, the size that small. And when it got that small, it exploded. And that's where all the galaxies came from, and planets and everything we see, and billions of years everything just evolved. You know, a rock had some goo on it that turned into an amoeba, and then that amoeba turned into, are you serious? You know, are we to believe that? So we can't understand it, right? So scientists, the greatest minds, came up with this evolution, this theory of evolution. What does that tell you? That tell you we can't explain it. God's ways are farther than our ways. His thoughts are farther than our thoughts. No man can conceive them. With our human mind, we cannot conceive the glory of God and how he's done these things. So again, if we can't understand it, does anybody in here know how to count the hairs of their head? Do you know how many hairs you have on your head?
Already know.
You already know what a Bible. Bible says only God. God knows the count.
God knows.
Okay, God knows. We don't know. You know, we don't know how we were made. I mean, we just came out. We came out of our mother's womb. How many of us actually created ourselves? Raise your hand. Nobody. Okay, how many's mothers created themselves? Nobody. How many mothers created themselves? Wow. Oh, there you go. You got one back. But the kids, I mean, how did they create themselves?
It's a mother.
But how did the mother create herself?
It's a grandmother.
How did the grandmother create herself?
It's a
cry. And it just keeps going back. All right, now this is the whole thing. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Chicken.
Okay, had to have a chicken in order to have an egg, right? And you got to have that rooster. You got to have that rooster because you got to have the rooster and the chicken, right? In order to fertilize that egg. All right, so where'd the chicken come from? You know? Now, when you take God out of the equation, let's take God out of the equation, where'd the chicken come from? No, we got to take God out of the equation. Where'd the chicken come from? Because again, we're men now. We're gonna question God now. So we're gonna move God out of the equation. And we're gonna figure it out ourselves, right? Okay.
Daddy, That's a good question. Where did the chicken come from?
There you go. There you go. Now, if we take God out of it, we'd have to believe what the evolutionist teaches, that billions and billions of years ago, there was matter that existed, and it got as small as the point of a pin, and then it exploded. And then out of billions, it took billions of years to create what we see today.
Why did you cross the road?
To get to the other side. But there we go. Well, there's another. We know that, okay? You get away from Colonel Sanders, one of those.
All right.
So the thing about it is, if we were to sit here and look at all of the things that are on this earth and try to explain how to get here, we don't know the mystery. There's mysteries all over the place, right? The pyramids and how they did all these ancient things, the ancient technology and ancient science and the earth itself and why everything is in order. How does a bird know how to fly south in the winter, you know? How do they know that? How does a salmon know how to swim upstream and they know exactly where to go to the place where they were born to die? How do they know how to do that? What's put into them instinctively? How does a dolphin or whale navigate the ocean, huh?
God controls it all.
See, again, we have to keep bringing God back in it, don't we? We can't take him out of it. Because if we take him out of it, none of us can explain it. You know, and that was, that's exactly, we can't take him out of it. And that was, that's what God is trying to do with Job. He's trying to get Job to understand, man, you don't have the knowledge to sit there and question me. And so what does that bring it back to? That brings it back to this. And that's a serious thing because I'm preaching to myself at this point. Okay, so many of us, I mean, I got on a phone call, and we're family, so I'm talking about family, so I can share this with you. Brother Emmett Pope, which is a brother here you don't see too much. Excuse me, there it goes again. Brother Emmett Pope, Kelly had announced that he had lung cancer and came back. So I did a follow-up with him, and he has stomach cancer. So on the day that I spoke with him, he said, I asked him, how's your wife Sandy? Sandy has breast cancer. She's just got diagnosed with breast cancer. And my son is having heart surgery right now as we speak. You know, Sister Charlie, she's been trying to come here. She fell down unrelated, doesn't know how it happened. She's in her bed one moment. She wakes up on the floor, concrete floor, her head gashed open, her knees all bruised up, and she's bleeding all over the place. And she's like, she feels like she's been under attack. She wants to come and worship, but it seems like every time she gets better, something happens, you know, to knock her down. And it just seems like all these things are happening. Aunt Frances is dying, and she's legs are rotting, and she's got MRSA all in her body, and she can't eat, and she can't drink, and she's just slowly rotting away and dying. You know, my friend that I used to run the streets with back in the day, you know, and he's 50, just 56 years old, and he's rotting away, you know, in a nursing home, and legs, they cut off the feet and toes and legs. And there's just so many people that are suffering, right? People in the body of Christ. And so, living on the streets. How many of our brothers and sisters live on the streets? When they come here to worship, then they leave here and go on the streets, right? Okay? So, we have hardship. And then we might ask the question, why? Why? Now, we talked about this a lot. Count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. We know it's in James chapter 1, right? So what's the answer to that? Why? If I ask why, what would you say? If James tells us to count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. Because knowing this, that going through trials and tribulations produces what? Huh?
Endurance.
It does, definitely endurance. It starts with a P.
Patience.
Okay. And then patience produces? It's what Christ is. Starts with a P. Starts with a P. Perfect. So that's the formula. Remember in the book of James, count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations, knowing this, that going through the trials and tribulations produces patience, patience, perfection, and perfection, getting to the point where you're wanting nothing. In other words, God is molding us, making us stronger, okay? Is it easy for me to accept the stuff I'm going through? Because let me tell you, it's been a lot of years going through. I mean, 30-some-odd years, some of the stuff that hasn't changed. And I'm tired, you know. I'm like, God, please, how much more? I mean, I'm really tired. And that, it has to do with the jobs. It has to do with the living environment. It has to do with just psychological attacks from noise, not being able to sleep, sleep deprivation, the whole thing. I'm like, how much longer? And when I've been crying out, please, God, help me to get financially stable, finance. No, he's going to make sure that I'm financially unable to get out of the situation. He will close every door that opens for me financially to keep me at this level. Why? Because he hates me? No, because he's perfected me. And I have to look at it that way. We have to look at it that way. It is a different way. God's ways are different from our ways. His thoughts are different from our thoughts. Who can know him, the Bible says? We can't know him. Now, what did Job do? God, why? Why am I going through this? What have I done? Tell me my sin, God. What have I done that you're doing this to me? Why are you acknowledging me? Why of everybody on the planet, why do you come down on me? Why do you have to notice me, you know? Just let me die. And so that way I don't have to go through all this pain and suffering anymore. How many of us? Exactly.
Can I take that?
Let's be honest, right?
Can I take that?
Go ahead.
This man right back here, Chuck, I know that there's a God. Because that man right there used to be nothing nice. And he's come a long way.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, man. I'm from the street.
Yeah.
That man right there was nothing nice.
That's what God will do,
and
right?
God brought him in here
to
help us.
Yep.
So I had to say that.
Okay, thank you.
I had to just say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because that just shows what God can do. Brother Kelly, another example of that, right? And there's so many of us, if I were to go down and ask the story, we could tell you some stories, you know? So including myself, you know? I was, like I said, people thought I was a devil worshiper for a reason. There was a reason. You know, I looked a certain way. I talked a certain way, and I hung out with certain people. And that's exactly what they thought. And when I told them I was going to church, they laughed. They said, they thought I was joking. I said, no. They said, my friends would. They said, no, he's a Christian. And they said, really? Oh, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean to laugh at you. We all thought you were a devil worshiper. Seriously. So what sort of message was I sending? What kind of life was I living, right? Where people around me just assumed this guy's a devil worshiper. Because of the way I look, because of the way I, you know. And I'm not ashamed to say, you know, that's what I did. That was my path. And I was very radical. I was very rebellious, you know. And I hung with a lot of rebellious crew. And, but God changed, you know, can change us all. He can change a truck, you know, like you said. And, a terror out there. I lived a very violent life. God kept my ignorant self alive because I was ignorant. Ignorant, stupid, could have been, should have been dead 1,000 times over. This idiot, stupid stuff I did, you know, and that kind of life and living on the edge. I mean, so many of us can say that, right? You know, just, it's dangerous. Drugs, there you go. Dangerous life, living right on the edge, right? Living on the edge. They got a song, living on the edge. I'm like, that was, it's what we did, man. But it was, I just thank God that he didn't kill me because I had several episodes. One of them was a fight with a train. Now, can you imagine if Brother Eric was fighting with a train, who do you think would have won in that battle? The train would have won. Easy. Well, let's just say I had a fight with a train. I may have had a little liquid courage in my bloodstream. And I slipped and fell, and I felt the wind go by my head as I laid there, stumbled with my head against the track. And then once that train went to the left and it was pitch dark, I looked up in the sky and I realized that verse that says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. And that got me right there. I was 20, I turned 21 years old at that time, which I never thought I'd live to be 21 anyway. But that would have, if that had hit my skull, my brain would have been, they'd found my dead corpse with the brain oozing out on that track, drunk as a skunk, and that soul would have been straight to hell, burning. But God spared me.
Can I say one more thing that happened to me?
Oh.
This is really real. Yeah. I'm over in the park side of Dallas. I was beaten left for dead. I'm not going to do it. And I was just trying to get to the Texas State Fair. Honestly, I had two beers in the door in my bag. I was resting. I got yanked off in a park and beaten left for dead 2 years ago. Mm. I was in a coma for 33 days. And they were just fixing to shut the machine off and open up one eye. I said, what am I on, the Jerry Springer show?
That's nothing but God. Oh, 5 minutes, okay.
This is honest God's truth, man. I'm lucky to be here today.
See?
Only God, and he got brought me back for some reason.
Exactly.
And I'm coming to church today. I don't ever come here, but something kept leading me here.
There you go.
God brought me here for a reason.
Well, I thank God that he spared you. You know, and that's so many of us, huh?
Yeah.
And so many of us.
I'm telling all that happened. I don't talk about it out in the street, but it happened.
The foundation of the world, verse 5 says, who hath laid the measures thereof? And if thou knowest, who has stretched the line upon it? All the measurements of the earth. Who did that? Okay, he created it. He stretched the measurements of it. Okay, and we know if you go so many miles, and I can't go into the technical part of it because I don't know it, but a navigator, the one that navigates the sea, that's how they're able to navigate the sea. They can look at the sun. They know when the sun rises, when the sun sets. They know the directions to go. You know, who caused the sun to set in the rise in the east and set in the west? And it continues to do that. Who controls it, right? And the rain, how much rain we get, the water, the sea, the oceans, how they're divided from the land, you know, and what keeps the oceans there and keeps them from overcoming the land mass, all these things. So he's basically done all this. Verse 6 says, whereupon are the foundations therefore fastened? And that's what we're talking about, of who laid the cornerstone. So to prevent the oceans from spreading over, to stop the oceans right there. Do you know that water is produced from underneath the ocean as well? More water is underneath the ocean than it is on the top surface. There's water underneath the ground. And the one thing when you read about the flood, knowing the flood, the water came underneath from underneath the ground. Not just from above, but it was raining from underneath the ground. There's more water underneath than it is above. Okay? And so who created that? For what purpose? Every time they come up like an oil spill, and then all of a sudden it's gloom and doom, we're all going to die because all of our water source is going to be depleted because the oil has contaminated all the water, and then all of a sudden the oil spill gets less and less and less. And they don't understand it. Then they realize there's a microscopic organism that eats oil. Who do you think created that microscopic organism? Who do you think that foreknew that man was going to produce petrol? Okay. God already knows all this stuff, the coronavirus, everything else. God already foreknew it. God's already got something. You remember what happened with the bird flu? The bird flu was supposed to wipe out millions of us. All of millions of us were supposed to die of the bird flu. It's going to be a pandemic. Millions of people are going to die. What happened to the bird flu? It denatured. Okay, it started changing, denaturing and changing. And all of a sudden, the potency of it just went down because it's not natural, it's man-made. Same thing with the coronavirus. It's a weaponized weapon, you know. It's been weaponized. It's a bioweapon. And so it's meant to destroy mankind. But when it's not natural, it doesn't stay the same. It mutates. And so all this mutation is going on and making it less effective. You know, some people are thinking, well, maybe mutate and become more effective and kill more people. I'm sure that's the wish of certain ones, but God is in control. So again, when you have a God that has created all of these things that are still a mystery today, how can we as humans question him when things happen? So that's what we'll be going through, and we'll go through a little bit more about that. Any questions at this point? On my left, any questions? Comments? In my middle section. Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what you, I'm glad you said that, because you'll notice that God, when he says, okay, Job, I'm about to ask a question to you, he asked, answered a question with a what? Question. He did not tell him. He did not give him the answer, because we couldn't understand it anyway. Okay, so he skipped trying to tell Job, okay, you asked for this, Job, I'm going to explain to you how this works. No, he's not explaining to Job how things work. He's asking Job a question. Okay, he's answering with a question. You're absolutely right. There are things that are far beyond our capability of understanding, and then there are things that we don't need to know anyway, because then faith is eliminated. You're absolutely right. Yes. Exactly. Thank you. We asked a question. Where did I come from? I came from my mother and father. Where did they come from? They came from their mother and father. Where did they come from? Their mother and father. Where did God come from? Uh-oh. Can't do that, right? Can't say he came from his mother and father. And then what we have to do is rely in faith on the word that says, I am Alpha and Omega. Nothing before me, nothing after me. And that's it. We can't understand it. We can't scientifically explain it. We just believe it in faith. Thank you. Good point. Good class, you guys. May God add a blessing to the word and the hearing of his word and the study of the book of Job. God bless you all.